May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We have in the gospel for this morning our Lord's exhortation that we not to become weary in praying. And the usually the dynamic in the spiritual life runs along these lines, that first fervor and then dryness and then testings of discouragement and anxiety and all the thorns and cares of the world. And to avoid those things, St. Gertrude the Great gives us something of a remedy for them. She, at a very young age, entered the convent of the Cistercian nuns and eventually became prioress for many years, I believe. And the Lord was pleased to reveal to her in a book of Revelations, you can kind of read them, his Sacred Heart. And this is a great gift preceding even St. Margaret Mary. She herself talks about a St. Mechtilde, who also received some revelations about our Lord's Sacred Heart. Of course, it goes back to St. John the Beloved at the Last Supper, and before that, of course, the Immaculate Virgin Mary, who that Sacred Heart was formed in her own Immaculate Heart and in her womb physically. So one of the things that we can dwell upon this morning for spiritual profit will be both, we're in November and we offer our suffrages for the Holy Souls in a particular way during this month, and also we'll turn to that purgation undergoing now for the individual soul in the Church Militant as well. And just like Blessed Angela Foligno has a very, very important teaching on suffering, I want to let the whole world know that grace follows upon suffering. Let's get that down. Grace follows upon suffering, and the sufferings that we undergo have a specific divine logic. And this is St. Gertrude in one of her writings about this purification of the soul. Your grace, she's talking about our Lord, makes me know further by frequent revelations that the soul dwelling in the body of frail humanity is darkened in the same manner as a person who stands in a narrow space and is surrounded on all sides by a vapor exhaling from a cooking vessel. So this is seems to be a common image among the saints. St. John of the Cross will talk about the moon, the luminous brightness of the moon, and the clouds that can darken its radiance as being sin, personal sin, that need to be dispersed. And here we have that same kind of image of vapor surrounding a person. And when the body is afflicted with any evil, the part which suffers is to the soul as a beam from the sun which enlightens the air and from which it receives marvelous clearness. Therefore, the heavier one's sufferings are, the purer is the light the soul receives. So she's now talking about bodily sufferings, that bodily sufferings clarify. Remember, St. Albert the Great, we talked about his great clarity. And it doesn't come without a cost, that's for sure. But here we have bodily sufferings helping to clarify the soul, to purify the soul. She then moves on to spiritual sufferings, just because as the soul is, we could say, more excellent than the body, or it animates the body, is the form of the body, so too spiritual sufferings are a whole deeper dimension of purification. But afflictions and trials of the heart, and humility, patience, and other virtues impart the greatest luster to the soul as they touch it more keenly, efficaciously, and intimately. So this is, we want to get this down in our repertoire, so to speak, that sufferings have a divine logic, and spiritual sufferings have their own end as well. Lastly, she'll finish with this. We should also take works of charity above all, above what? Bodily sufferings, above the spiritual sufferings, give the soul an admirable serenity and brightness. Okay, so nothing too new there, but at the same time, we need to be reminded of it, and a very helpful figure, which is true about the clarification of the soul. Second point, St. Gertrude was a spouse of Jesus Christ. She was a virgin, and in consecrated life, we're called to, every soul is called to holiness, us in a particular way, the spousal union with Jesus Christ. And she's got another image here about this ring. And here's what she writes regarding this, or written about her. St. Gertrude offered to God in her prayers all that she suffered in body and mind, again, this twofold division, and all the pleasures of which she had deprived herself, whether in the flesh or the spirit. Okay, so you get suffering, offer it up. That's always the advice. Our Lord appeared to her and showed her the pleasures and the pains which she had offered to him under the forms of two rings, enriched with precious stones, which he wore to adorn his hands. The saint, perceiving this, repeated the offering frequently. Wow. And it was later revealed to her that those two rings are testimonies of the spiritual spouse of the soul with God. St. Francis has a similar thought as this. I forget where I read it, but basically temptations are the spiritual ring with which the soul is betrothed to God. So being tempted at times very, very severely, see it as an invitation to union, and again with its own proper end. So that whoever suffers may say confidently with all truth, my Lord Jesus Christ has espoused me to himself with his ring. And now, this is important because she'll talk about when we realize this, we can return to God and give thanks for our sufferings. Now, this is something that we don't often think about, perhaps, but it's something we should do. And even looking back in the responsorial psalm for today, you know, give thanks to the Lord for the marvels he has done. Red Sea, all the historical, but also in the individual life, in the individual soul, there have been great, great marvels. And those marvels typically come through suffering. And to go back, perhaps today, in prayer, thanking God for afflicting body, for afflicting the soul and spirit with some serious crosses. Why? Because again, it's by which of these, by means of these, that he joins the soul to himself. Returning thanks. Remember, we kind of twisted the gospel earlier this week. You know, where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give thanks to God but this foreigner? We can repair wounds to the Sacred Heart. Remember, the Sacred Heart was pierced for our ingratitude of men by thanking God for the sufferings that we've experienced. Disasters in the family, disasters, however you want to do it, however it has happened in one's own life. But thanking God for these things in reparation. Okay, last, so we got the logic of sufferings, we got the offering it up. At last is this, not to become weary, because when the Lord comes to earth at the end of your life and mine, will he find faith? And that gets at, are we able to stand at the foot of the cross? Sure. Just like Peter, they'll all leave you. I won't leave you. All the best. And of course, it's only grace that can keep us there. And this is a meditation with our Lord's Sacred Heart that can help us to keep us there as well. Two pulsations to the Sacred Heart. The first is for sinners reaching out. It's a real heart. It's a real human heart. Divine human heart. And it pulsates now for all eternity. Second pulsation, rejoicing with the Father for having poured forth, he says, my precious blood so efficaciously for the just, in whose many merits I find so many delights. And so also joining with our Lord in this thanks as well for having been redeemed. And these things can be points of reparation. And reposing against our Lord's Sacred Heart like St. John the Beloved at the Last Supper, and asking St. Gertrude for this grace today. It was, again, it's all private revelation. You don't have to believe it. A lot of it rings true. But she also was given a grace of very, very powerful intercession. And when we have recourse to St. Gertrude with humility and we dispose ourselves to receive graces, we will be blessed. And so these three movements of the soul, realizing, understanding the sufferings in our life, offering them up, and thanking God for them, and then lastly, reposing against our Lord's Sacred Heart to find our rest. We turn to her for this intercession, this grace, that we can also be mediators for those who do not know our Lord.
Amen.